Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we're going to shift gears today and talk a little bit to more of a business subject, but it does have relevance to the world of finance, and you'll see why very quickly. We are very, very fortunate. We have a new guest, Joan Kingsley. She is a psychotherapist and author. And what got my attention is we saw this very interesting book. The book is called The Fear-Free Organization, Vital Insights from Neuroscience to Transform Your Business Culture. And Joan, along with two other authors, Paul Brown and Sue Patterson, wrote the book. And it really speaks to the things that businesses and entrepreneurs and owners of companies and the managers need to have top of mind as it relates to the relationships they have with their employees and how the company can move forward and be all it can be. And so I'm very excited to bring Joan on the program. She is a psychotherapist and author, as mentioned. She has a private practice in London, is an honorary consultant psychotherapist at the National Hospital for Neurology and Neurosurgery, and is on the psychotherapist register at the School of Life. She practices as an executive coach and has a vast amount of experience of working with businesses and supporting their staff. So I'm very glad to welcome Joan to the program. Welcome, Joan.
Thank you very much.
It's my
happy
pleasure.
Happy to be here.
Yes, well, we're so happy to have you. And before we started, I let Joan know about that I have my own company, and I'm very curious about your approach with all of this, Joan, because I want to hold on to the great team I have, and I certainly don't want anyone to be fearful or spending any energy thinking about, you know, self-preservation within a culture or an environment that doesn't have their interest at the top of our list. So I've got good people, and I want to hold on to them. How do I do that?
Well, that's wonderful, and I think, you know, you're in a majority of what people want. I think what's really important in an organization is getting feedback. You know, if you're running a small company or even a large company or a department, getting as much feedback as you can. Now, the feedback I'm talking about has anonymity attached to it. So we use it as an example in the book, a program we've used called Sophie, but I'm sure there are other ones, where your employees are able to go online, do this survey, and they can do it weekly, and, you know, talk about what are the things that are working for them in your organization, what's not working and why. And you can do this on a weekly basis. But you need it to be anonymous, because as the boss, as the person who's signing the paycheck and is responsible for everybody, you have to make sure that you're getting the truth and you're not getting the things that people think you want to hear. And that is really challenging. That's really hard.
Well,
sometimes you're going to hear things you don't want to hear.
Right. Well, and that, you know, that's part of that self-preservation. That's part of that.
Yeah.
Being protective and being careful and guarded. And,
yeah,
you know, if you hold a meeting, say, anybody have any complaints or concerns about the company? You're not going to have any hands come up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's somebody named Chris Argyris, who was at Harvard Business School. He calls this double loop learning and single loop learning. Single loop learning is you never learn anything. You know, you make a mistake and everybody says, oh, that was fine, and, you know, the boss is fine and everything's fine, and you just keep going around in this single loop. Double loop learning is you are acknowledging the mistakes you're making, you're exposing them, and you are learning from your mistakes. But a lot of leaders don't want to hear that. And the longer somebody is empowered, You really want to encourage people to tell the truth. It's like politicians.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of as a politician.
You know, who the longer they're in power, the less they want to hear what the truth is.
Mm.
The more they want to hear what they want to hear. or they want what they believe to be agreed with and acknowledged and affirmed. And that's a very dangerous position to be in.
Well, it's certainly dangerous for a business owner or the business leader to, you know, have that false sense of affirmation and support, and you know, that ends up leading to a lot of problems, I'm sure, down the road.
Yes.
Well, so several big themes here, Joan, and one is to, you know, I think probably the real core is to get that feedback where, you know, an employer can address and know, get a sense for the pulse of their organization. And the end game is getting things structured in a way that people do feel secure and they can focus their energy on the, you know, the goals of the organization.
Yes. And what you often wind up doing when people, when managers are using fear as a management tool, and I want to say that the reason that managers and entrepreneurs and business leaders use fear is because it is a very, very easy emotion to trigger. And you think that you're getting the results you want. You think you're motivating somebody. What you're actually doing is you are taking somebody who may be thriving at work and creative, and you're instantly putting their brain into survival mode.
Mm-hmm.
That's
well, it's hard for somebody to then make as much of a contribution to the organization. In fact, they may do just the opposite out of a not only self-preservation but retaliatory.
Yes. And you think you're getting results because they're short-term results, but you're actually long-term, possibly losing somebody very good. Making somebody very stressed, anxious, fearful, and that's not what you want. That happens quite often because people get promoted up, or you start a business not because, you know, you like working with people or you know anything about people. You like the thing you're doing or the product you're making or the idea you have. And particularly in larger organizations, you get somebody who's been promoted up, and I often get to coach somebody like this who's, great, I got the job I wanted. We worked, you know, for 6 months on that goal. And now I've got it, and suddenly I'm running a team or a department. And I'm not doing the work I was good at. I'm being asked to manage people, and I don't know anything about people. So part of the healthy process in a fear-free organization is to ensure that there is some training in place to understand what makes another person tick, and also to understand what empathy is and how true empathy comes from insight, from understanding oneself. And if you have an understanding of yourself, then you can understand how another person's feeling. That's really powerful.
Excellent.
So, you know, you run a small business. I'm sure you have people come in and they're not feeling so good.
Right.
And they don't want to tell you about it.
Yeah.
You know, because they're embarrassed, or they're the kind of person who's very private, or they feel it's going to be used against them if, you know, somebody is ill in their family. Are they going to miss out on their promotion?
Right.
So it's your job as the leader of the business to be very sensitive, be in tune with other people's emotional systems. And that's just not being invasive. That means you can just simply say, I see maybe you're having a bit of a problem. I'm here if you want to talk to me about it. If you don't want to talk about it, it's okay, but I can see you're struggling.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it frees up energy in that other person because a lot of the energy is being taken up, covering up your feelings.
Okay, that's a good point. I didn't think of that. Okay, excellent. Yeah. Good stuff, Joan. Joan Kingsley, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest today. If you're just joining us, we are very pleased to have her with us, psychotherapist and author in the book, The Fear-Free Organization, Vital Insights from Neuroscience to Transform Your Business Culture. Quick break. We'll be right back with Joan.
Where can you find more spin than in politics? If you said financial services, you'd be correct. Just ask a stockbroker or insurance agent how you should invest your money, and what do you think they would say? Unfortunately, if an advisor is limited in what he can offer, that advisor is often understandably biased. You need to ask questions like what products and services they can and cannot offer. Ask about their licensing and credentials. Remain skeptical. This PSA has been brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have Joan Kingsley on the line with us, and we're just scratching the very top layer of a lot of what Joan and her co-authors, Paul Brown and Sue Patterson, touch on in the book, The Fear-Free Organization, Vital Insights from Neuroscience to Transform Your Business Culture. And, you know, you spoke to something really right before the break there, Joan. I think we should, you know, just expand on for a little bit here, and because I think it leads into another really important part of this from what you've shared, and that is that, you know, letting the employees know that these people that you work with day in and day out, that they can see you as a resource and that they can come to you if they need to talk about something and they can feel safe. And where that gets the relationship is from one of, you know, not, as opposed to being a fearful, to one where there is that trust. And then trust is everything.
Trust is everything. We link trust and love all as one emotion, because it's not romantic love. It's the kind of love that you bring to work, love of people you work with, love of the place you work, love of whatever it is you're doing, love of yourself. Hmm. And if those kinds of love feelings are around, and love is a big word, but that builds trust, and that's where trust resides. As soon as you break trust, you're kind of destroying a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And trust can be broken very simply, very easy ways. I mean, I like to talk about this story in the book because it's not a big story. It's a little story. Someone I work with, and they had a great idea, and they shared it with their boss. Their boss thought it was a great idea. A week later, this person hears his boss on the phone talking to a client saying, oh, I've had this great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And owning the idea is their own idea.
Right.
And this person can hear the conversation.
Wow.
And come to see me, and something's niggling in their system, and this is not a big thing. This is, you know, something just small that's niggling away, and that's affecting their, how they feel about their boss. And then it starts breaking away trust. So, it's not a huge thing. And then this person feels petty about going to the boss.
Mm.
You know, they think, oh, great idea for the business. I should be thinking of the greater good of the business. But then they start being afraid to share their ideas with their boss. What next? What's going to happen next?
Yeah.
And that trust can get broken down in small ways very quickly as well, as big ways. Big ways, Rob.
Yeah. It's like a poison.
Yes. And the other thing, as a leader or manager, is you have somebody toxic in your business, you've got to get them out.
Yeah.
There are some people you can think, you know, they're not doing the right thing, they're not treating people well, and your first step should be always, I can help this person to change. I can have a difficult conversation with this person, because in many ways they're a good employee, and, you know, I think they have something valuable to contribute. But if you can't help the person change, you can help them leave. If you take that kind of approach, most people who are toxic will leave of their own volition.
Hmm.
You don't have to fire them.
Hmm. Yeah. And just addressing it head on and saying this is not going to work and this is not acceptable.
Well, not that this is not going to work. The way you're working is not working well.
Okay.
And have you considered doing things this way? So you kind of take a collegial, arm around the shoulder attitude. And, you know, we want you to stay. We don't want you to go. But you are going to need to make some changes.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
very toxic people generally will go.
No, yeah, because you're on to them.
Exactly.
You know, they've been called out, and now they know that, you know, they can't. They're going to be underneath the microscope.
Yeah. You know, that's easier in smaller businesses. It's very difficult in these big bureaucratic businesses where there's a lot of cover-ups that happen, and people are just watching their backs and just interested in saving their job.
Lots of places to hide in a larger organization.
Yeah. And also, if you have somebody toxic, a team leader who is also producing well to the bottom line, their boss is going to like them very much and then is not necessarily going to want to listen to what people are saying. And then you get into situations with HR departments. And who is the HR department working for? Are they working for the employee who's being bullied or not treated well, or are they working for the leader who likes this toxic employee? That is not an uncommon problem.
Well, it creates a rub. There's a conflict there that is, you know, is it people or profit? Is it, you know, resolving the situation? And it's looking at the good of the organization. These are all the challenges, and it certainly makes it interesting business, because, you know, it's often been said in different ways, Joan, I'm sure you've heard it, you know, that business would be real easy if it wasn't for the people, right? I mean, you know, so it's, but that's part of it. And, you know, what are the assets of a company? You know, yeah, they can have financial assets and all that, but their ability to provide service and do the things they do, it's all about the people.
Well, you've got to think about what's important to you. What's important to you as a customer, and what's important to you as an employee, and what's important to you as an employee. Is the most important thing making as much money as you possibly can and not caring about what the emotional cost of that is? Or would you rather run a business you're proud of where maybe your profits are slightly less? Or would you rather be a customer of a business that is abusing people? There's this shop in London, I'll just tell you a personal story, called Primark. And they, boy, you go into Primark and you can buy a T-shirt for $1. You know, and they have queues outside the door, lines outside the door, people waiting to get in the morning. Two people stopped me on Oxford Street one day and said, how do I get to Primark? And I said, why do you want to go to Primark? Do you understand where these things that you're buying for nothing and disposing in a year, what it's costing the people in the factories in the Far East who are making these things for almost nothing? So, I mean, it was a bit of a challenging thing to say to somebody who was asking directions, but I meant it.
Yeah.
We have to think about who, you know, where customers, you know, okay, we're getting something for a good price, but somewhere along the line, somebody's paying a big price.
Well, that's exactly right.
And is that okay for us?
That's exactly right. And, you know, when you speak to, you know, the service being provided, especially with any, you know, heavy service, client service organization, you know, I'll take, you know, financial services, for example, Joan, you know, it's high touch, it's client service, and, you know, there's a lot of information that we deal with that's very important and confidential. We have to be very careful. And, you know, my biggest strategy for that is, you know, to keep people, keep good quality people and not have turnover.
Yeah.
Because what does that tell the person who's, you know, choosing to have us help them with their finances? Good grief.
And, you know, we used to love going into our local banks and knowing the bank teller and, you know, what's happened to that world.
Yeah.
Now we're, you know, pushing buttons on a machine and being asked security questions like, what's the name of your first dog? And you can't remember it. And all of the personal stuff is gone. And that doesn't feel very good.
No, it's not very comforting. If you're just joining us, ladies and gentlemen, Joan Kingsley is our guest today, psychotherapist and author. And the book, The Fear-Free Organization, Vital Insights from Neuroscience to Transform Your Business Culture and Understand These Concepts that we've been talking about. That's where you'll get more information. We'll grab a quick break. We'll come back and get into a couple more areas with Joan. Stay right there.
Are you looking for convenient, straightforward financial information? Just say no to superficial sales presentations. And yes, to the free Real Money app. Get David Holland's new app for your smartphone or tablet. Just search Real Money with David Holland at your mobile device's store. You'll be able to access 17 educational TV shows, plus hundreds of radio shows and financial columns, all in the palm of your hand and on your schedule. So very easy and so very important to you. Again, to download the free app, search Real Money with David Holland. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Joan Kingsley on the line with me, psychotherapist and author of the book, The Fear-Free Organization, Vital Insights from Neuroscience to Transform Your Business Culture. And I want to circle back around, if we could, Joan, and just hit this, the fear part of that relationship with the employee that, you know, we just don't want that. It's not healthy. It does, you know, and again, I know you said earlier that some organizations and business folks do deploy that as a strategy to motivate, but I think most people would agree that that's not necessarily the best strategy. If there are other ways to, you know, that not only respecting the person, but more effective ways. And so how do we, you know, I know we need to create an environment of trust, and you talked about also the surveys. Are there other things that can be done to tackle fear in the workplace so that we do have that happy, productive employee?
I think happy is a big word, and I think it's a word that's used without any specific, what makes me happy, you know, a sunset makes me happy, you know, sitting on the beach and looking at waves makes me happy. Working hard does not always make me happy. It may, you know, when I was writing the book, I really struggled. Some days felt not happy, very difficult, but there's a sense of pride and excitement you get from tackling a challenge and doing it well. You know, happiness is fleeting, but feeling proud of yourself and excited about what you're doing and feeling like you're making a contribution and achieving some goals, well, you know, that to me is much more powerful than happiness.
Well, and that's good advice, Joan, also for the leaders, the executives, the owners of businesses, that they also, you know, come to learn very quickly running or starting a business that there's going to be plenty of days where they don't feel so good about it. And
yeah,
there's stress that comes from
tough.
That.
I have a daughter who's writing a book and she's walking around stressed. And I said, it's hard. Use that energy.
Yeah.
Stress has very good energy. What you don't want to tip into is anxiety. And
right.
Stop performing well. You think of a racehorse, you know, they're at their best, you know, their optimum performance when they have the right amount of stress driving them forward.
Well, that's the same with exercise. You know, you're stressing the muscles. I mean, that's, you know, you can use it productively if you keep it focused. But there, I think the thing for a lot of business owners is they do get stressed over some of these issues. And that's why I was so happy to have you come on the program and be able to talk with us about it because, you know, it, for a lot of people that choose to start a company, you know, I've written a couple of books and I've got one in my head, Joan, that I think you know, it's something like the 50 or 100 or 200 things they don't teach in business school. And one of them is all of this human resource and relational aspect, you know, that is part of having a business that isn't part of the training.
Yeah. And most business leaders, you know, think of human resources. Oh, we'll just, you know, we'll back burner that stuff. Send it to human resources. It's not important to me. You know, I'll let them deal with it. And in fact, it is, you know, the relationships you have with the people who work for you are, there's nothing more important. You think about, I write a little bit in the book about Winston Churchill, the special relationship he described with America. You know, we know of the special relationship, a lot of us don't realize that it was Winston Churchill who talked about that, that, you know, it's the most important thing between, in an organization, between organizations, politicians, governments, the relationship, family, schools, universities. And, you know, there's something else I wanted to say, which is about rules and regulations, because I've had people say, well, you know, how can you have a fear-free organization? That means you're not going to have any rules and any boundaries. And I say, of course, you know, people want to feel safe, and people want to know, they want rules, and they want to know what the rules are. And that creates a very safe environment. And also, you have to know yourself in terms of what kind of environment you work well in. Some people need peace, quiet, and thinking time. Some people, you know, like reporters, newspapers, they love the buzz of a newsroom. They like to be in these big spaces with loads of people and a lot going on, a lot of shouting and yelling. The shouting and yelling is not always about fear. Sometimes it's about excitement. Joy. And you have to know yourself and what kind of environment you work well in, and then you've got to make sure that that's the environment as an entrepreneur you're creating and fostering, and as somebody going out and looking for a job, you have to make sure that you're moving into the right environment.
Excellent, Joan. Well, I tell you what, we'll leave it there. They can read more in the book and understand more fully some of these concepts you've described to us: the fear-free organization, vital insights from neuroscience to transform your business culture. Joan Kingsley, along with Paul Brown and Sue Patterson, wrote the book, and we've been very much appreciated the opportunity to talk to Joan today. Joan, thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to reading the book and
I hope
applying.
You enjoy it.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.